Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be gathered into God's house with you here at Shirksville. Invite you to Susquehanna Valley as you have opportunity to join us in worship there. This morning for a message, I've chosen to look at a young person in the Bible, draw a few thoughts from the life of Daniel. The message may be directed a little more towards the youth, but I trust you all can, young and old together, we can get it and gain an inspiration from the life of Daniel and what him and his three friends that he had as they were taken to a strange land and faced with much opposition, much different than they were used to where they came from in Judah. You can turn to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read the first 16 verses, Daniel chapter 1, to get the setting and the background of this story. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he had carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink, and gave them pulse. This gives us a little introduction into this story, and I'll be pulling on your memory of the story of Daniel from the first 3 chapters, especially as we look at this, just a little bit on the setting and a little what these boys were facing, these 4 young boys. The kingdom of Judah had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, as we read here in these chapter. They were taken into a strange land, taken away from what they knew, their homeland, taken into a strange culture. These young men, they were young. They were boys. Verse 4 calls them children. Some sources I was looking at would estimate they were 15 to 16 years old. They were young men that were not fully matured. They were not seasoned young men who had been through hardships in life, had faced the challenges of life, and what you would think of that could stand up to some of these pressures they were facing. These were young men that were, they were youth. You youth today, take courage by the example of Daniel. Daniel is one who had purpose of heart. Title my message, Daniel, A Youth with Purpose. Daniel was a young man that had purpose, even though he was not 50 years old and had been through a lot. So they were young. They were in a strange land, a land they had never been to before, strange language. They were separated from their parents. I did not read anywhere here that their parents were there with them. But even if their parents were carried into captivity, they were separated and taken into this special school, special training for the wise men of the Chaldeans. They were separated from their spiritual leaders. They did not have the Jewish rabbis there with them that could teach them the customs and the law of God. They no longer had that. Their names were changed. They were given names of the Chaldeans. They did no longer had their identity as a Jewish young man with a Jewish name. They were taught the customs and language of the Chaldeans. It seems like the Chaldeans were intent on making these young men forget who they were, to forget that they were children of Israel, they were Jews, they were God's chosen people. But these Chaldeans were intent on them forgetting that. Let's put yourself in, as a young person, anyone here, put yourself in Daniel's shoes a little bit. If you were taken to a Middle Eastern country, maybe taught the customs and beliefs of Islam, had your name changed to Muhammad, what would you do when you were asked to compromise the teachings you were taught as a young person? Would you be able to stand up like Daniel? Would you be able to have the conviction to follow God and His teaching, God's law, in a setting like that? Do you have convictions that you would not be okay with compromising in that situation? Or are you doing the things you are because of the church you're a part of is asking you to do it? That's the only reason you're doing them. I want to look at some of those thoughts this morning and look at what Daniel had. I have 8 points that Daniel, things that Daniel had purposed in his heart. Things that Daniel was not going to compromise on, some of the values that Daniel had in his heart. What caused Daniel to be able to purpose this in his heart? Point number one, Daniel knew the God of heaven. You can turn over to chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 17 to 19. As I said, we're going to be pulling some thoughts from the first 3 chapters. Of Daniel. This was after King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he could not remember. He called his wise men in, and they could not tell him what that dream was either. And so Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and anger, said he's going to kill all the wise men. The captain of the guard came to get Daniel and his 3 friends to take them to execution. And Daniel asked the captain of the guard if he could have some time. And this is Daniel speaking to his God, of his God. Chapter 2, verses 17 to 19. Then went Daniel to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Point number one, he knew the God of heaven. He knew a God that was in charge, a God that was over all. He had a personal relationship with him. Even though he knew the God of heaven, this was the God of Daniel, a God that was personal to him. How is it for each one of you? Do you know the God of heaven? Do you have a relationship with God that is personal, but then yet see God as the God of heaven? It's a foundational aspect of every person. We all need to have a close walk with God. We all need to have that relationship with him. What about Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus? Do you have the new birth experience? A changed heart, a new life? If we're trying to purpose in our heart on our own strength, we're going to become frustrated. There's only one way to get to know the God of heaven, and that is through Jesus. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see Jesus as the answer to knowing the God of heaven. So Daniel knew the God of heaven. Daniel had a relationship with him. Point number two, Daniel was taught God's law. I don't know if I have an exact reference to give you on this, but he knew that this meat that he was asked to eat was not allowed in the Mosaic law. So Daniel knew the law of God. He had read that. He understood it. He understood the teachings of Moses on back in Leviticus. There's several chapters that refer to the meat and what they could eat and what they could not eat, how it was slaughtered, that it was not to have blood, any blood left in it. And he understood that to eat this meat would be violating the law of God. Do we know what God's word says today? If we're going to know God's word, we're going to need to read it. I'm convinced that Daniel had read the law. I think he knew, had spent time studying that law. Do you read it? Do you read it often, every day? And then do you understand it? Or do you read over it, forget what you read? Spend time studying God's word and understand it. Do you know where to turn to find a passage? When someone asks you why you're non-resistant, why you will not go to war, do you know where to turn to point them to? You know where to turn to tell someone why you believe modesty is important? If you don't know, study God's word, look for it. We have many practical applications we make in daily life. Do you know why we make those applications? Do you understand the scriptural principle behind it? I think Daniel did. He understood why it was wrong to eat the king's meat. And he knew where to look for that, or he would not have been so convinced that that was something he could not compromise on. Let's study God's word. Point number three, Daniel and his friends would not compromise their convictions. This may be closely related, but I want to look at Daniel chapter 3 a little bit. This is a story of the fiery furnace, a familiar story that all of us know well. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3. This is when the king had told them they had to kneel, bow before this image. They had refused, and he gave them another chance. This is their answer to them. In chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These boys had some convictions. They had some things they were not going to give in to. They were not going to bow before that God, even if it meant death. They knew it meant death. I think they were convinced of that. That fiery furnace was there. I think they may even have been able to feel the heat from it already. But they were able to stand there and say, no, I will not do that. They had convictions that they were not going to compromise, even though it meant immediate death. Do you have convictions this morning? Dictionary definition of conviction is a strong persuasion or belief. So do you have convictions this morning, young people, all of us? Is there things that you would be willing to die for? What if every guideline that your parents, every guideline that the church has put in place in your life was suddenly taken away? What would you have left? Would you have something there to live your life by? I think we're all thankful for the guidance we have in our lives. I'm not endorsing or saying that would be a good idea, but think about it. Would you have convictions? Do you have convictions? The government reinstated the draft in this country. Would you know how to answer the draft board? Would you be able to stand before them and conscientiously say that you cannot go to war? If we wait to develop conviction until we face a decision or face a challenge, I think it's going to be too late. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had waited until they were right there and the music was playing to decide whether they were going to bow or not, do you think they would have all three stayed standing? Let's have conviction today. We need to have strong personal conviction if we're going to stand against the tests that come our way in the day times we live in today. Point number four, Daniel was able to stand against the reasoning of his captors, against the reasoning of the ones who had him, were over him. This is back in chapter number one, when they came to him, in verse 10, see the prince of the eunuchs coming to Daniel and telling him, he said, you know, if you don't eat this meat and drink this wine, he said, you know, you're really endangering my life too. And that could have been a real challenge for Daniel to accept, a real challenge for him to understand that he was putting this prince of the eunuchs' life in danger as well by his convictions. But Daniel didn't cave into that. He did say, let's give it a 10-day trial, and that did work out. But he did not give in when he was when he heard the reasoning of the prince of the eunuchs. How is it for you as a young person, for all of us? Maybe you had took all the courage you had to stand up against your friend and say, I won't go along with what you're planning to do. I won't be included in that today. But then, when you refuse to join in, sometimes you're made to look like the bad person. You're the one that ruined the day for the rest of everyone else. And isn't that are we able to stand up against that and still say, no, I will not join into that activity. That is not something that I can conscientiously do. Let's not let reason talk us out of obeying God's word. Obeying our convictions. listening to our convictions. Daniel still had purpose of heart after the prince of the eunuchs told him that his head was in danger as well. Let's not be ashamed of our purpose of heart, of our convictions. Point number 5, Daniel and his friends knew where to turn for help in difficulty. We read those verses in chapter 2 when when their life was in danger because of the wise men not being able to tell the king what this dream was. The captain of the guard had come to pick up Daniel and his three friends for execution. They knew where to turn. They knew what to do when they faced a hard time. Too often, for myself, when I face a difficulty, I face a challenge, and I don't know that I've ever faced one quite like Daniel and his three friends did here, but the first thing I do is sit down with my friends. If I was Daniel, I think I would have been tempted to sit down with my three friends for an hour or two and discuss the problem, all the angles. Is there any way we can get out of this? Is there any way we can come up with a dream to tell the king? Is there any way we can escape out of this situation? But what did Daniel and his three friends do? When Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. First thing they did is had a prayer meeting. When they realized that their life was in danger, when they knew what was happening, they turned to God. Daniel and his friends knew where to turn when they needed help. When you get caught in a situation, you don't know what to do. Let's not try to figure it out on our own strength. Let's turn to God. Let's ask him. Don't be afraid to pray about the situation. How is it? I know a challenge I face. You're having a lunch appointment with a salesman at a restaurant. It's time to start eating. What do you do? Do you tell that salesman, I would like to bow my head and thank the Lord for my food? It's just a simple thing, but are we ever tempted to skip over some of those things? It's a challenge. Let's not be ashamed to ask God for help. Let's not be ashamed to pray in public. When you face a temptation, ask God for deliverance. God delights in his children coming to him and asking for help. And I think God was just waiting for Daniel and his three friends to come and pray to him and ask for help. And when they did, he answered. It says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He thanked God for the answer that he had received. Let's pray regularly. Thinking of the chapter 6, Daniel. We all know the story of Daniel when he was in the lion with the lion's den. He had a habit of praying 3 times a day. Let's have a regular prayer life. It's going to be a great asset for us when we face temptation, face opposition. If we're accustomed to turning to God in prayer, that's going to become almost a habit to cry out to God when we face opposition. Point number 6. Daniel knew that even though he was in a strange land and a heathen setting, God was still seeing him and his three friends. Chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. And as we read these verses, just think about that thought, that Daniel knew that God was watching over them. I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. It says that in verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. God sees everywhere. And Daniel understood that. God, seeing what Daniel and his three friends were facing in each situation they were in, and Daniel knew that God was seeing him. God was still watching over them, even though they were far from Jerusalem. And if we want to have purpose of heart like Daniel, we need to remember that God's presence is everywhere. How is it when you're all by yourself? You're all alone. No one nearby, no one that knows you is around. Does the temptation get greater to stop at that magazine rack or to spend time watching that TV screen when you're at a motel room all alone by yourself? Is there a temptation there? Let's remember God's working, watching everything, bringing it maybe a little closer home, a little closer home. Yeah, what about the privacy of your bedroom and your cell phone? Is that a temptation to you? Let's remember God sees everything we're doing, everything that we are thinking. He sees our heart. Daniel understood that concept, and we need to as well. If we're going to be men and women of purpose, young people with purpose. Point number 7, Daniel was humble in the presence of the king. Chapter 2, I've been alluding to that somewhat, that dream that the king could not remember. Daniel and his three friends just about lost their life through that. Daniel asked for some time. God revealed that dream to Daniel, and Daniel came into the king to explain this dream to him. We'll just read verses 27 to 30. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." Daniel was quite concerned here in these verses that he did not take any honor to himself for his accomplishment, for what he had done. He wanted to make it very clear to the king that this was not his doings. This was God that had given the interpretation to him. I see a man of humility, a young man that was wanting to be sure that he did not get recognition for something that God had given to him. How is it when someone commends us for something we have done, praises you for an accomplishment, are you quick to thank them for that and say, "Yes, I'm glad too I was able to accomplish that"? Or are we willing, ready to acknowledge that God's the one that gives us the ability to do what we have done? God is the one that gave us the ability to serve him, the ability to take that next breath, as Cliff was talking. He's the one that has given us everything we have. pride is going to ruin us. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Humility, as Daniel had in this chapter, is going to help us be young people, men and women of purpose. And the last point I have on Daniel, a man of purpose, Daniel recognized that God was sovereign. God was sovereign over all. God was the one who had set things here. God was the one who had brought these boys to this land. He was the one who had set King Nebuchadnezzar over them. He was able to protect them, protect Daniel and his three friends from the displeasure of the king when they refused to eat the king's meat, or when they refused to bow to that image. Chapter 2, again, verses 37 and the first part of 38. This is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar again. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Daniel told the king that God was sovereign. He pointed that out to King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel recognized that in his life as well. If we're going to be youth of purpose, we will recognize as God is sovereign over all our life. He's the one that gives us that air to breathe, food to eat, and everything that we have. And without him, we would be nothing. God is a sovereign God over our lives, over our temptations. Like that promise that we have in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We have a sovereign God even over what he allows into our life, what we're allowed to face. Let's remember that as we face the temptations, the challenges, challenges to our conviction that we have. In conclusion, I want to read chapter 1. We quit reading at verse 16. I want to read verses 17 to 21. The blessing that God gave to Daniel and his three friends for what they had done here by their commitment, their purpose of heart. We see the blessing that God gave them. Verse 17 to the end of the chapter. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. God bless these boys for their purpose of heart. And young people, God will bless you for the purpose of heart you have, for the convictions that you're willing to stand by. God will bless you for that. I don't know that we'll always know how that blessing will come about. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know how that was going to turn out for them when they stood solid on those convictions they had. They said in that verse, you know, we're not sure if God's going to save us from this furnace, but we do know he's going to deliver us from you. May God bless each one of you as you follow him with purpose of heart. Closing, I want to read a familiar children's song. Probably all of you know it. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.